Andrew is actually graduating and moving up to the high school next year. So they're all at graduation. Yeah, give Andrew a hand. And I'm thankful. The more I think about it, I'm so thankful that we have pastors that put family first and they make room for that. And I'm so thankful for that and that they trust us all here tonight. just a couple announcements. Big Kids and Jam, we are starting up July 4th. And then Activity Night is starting up July 6th. And we do need a dream team to run those ministries. So if you would like to be a part of either one of those ministries, there's sign-up sheets in the back for you to sign up. And then someone will be in contact with you. And then our Next Steps class is starting back up July 11th. It's a two-part class. There's two-part classes to that. And that's July 11th and July 25th. Both classes go from 1:15 to 2:15. And if you've never gone through those classes, we encourage you to do that. It's not only a great learning time, you get to meet new people. And Paul and Becky McCowan do a fabulous job teaching that class. So you'll want to sign up for that if you've never gone through those. And then we're having our water baptism Sunday, July 25th. And I know some of you that have put your names down, you're super excited about that. And we're excited for you. We know that it's a life-changing moment for many people. So if you've never been water baptized, please sign your name up in the foyer tonight. Well, I'm thankful and excited to hear Phil Gardner tonight. I was thinking about Phil and Dee, and I'm just so thankful for them. They're just pillars in the house of God. They're faithful. They're loyal. I love watching them come in. Their marriage is something to be looked upon. And they're great examples of who God is in somebody's life and in somebody's marriage. And they're just treasures in the house of God. I was thinking about that. And so I'm so thankful tonight. And Phil does an amazing job Tuesday morning men's group. So I've heard. He does a great job leading that. So men, if you have not been connected on a Tuesday morning, make sure you join that connect group at 7 o'clock Tuesday mornings. You can meet out back with Phil or on Zoom. Check the links out online. But would you stand and give Phil Gardner a Thursday Life Night welcome tonight?
Much livelier than a Tuesday morning. So, I don't need it on Tuesday, but that's okay. So tonight we're going to be talking on the subject of faith. And so we're going to begin with that and continue that topic for tonight. So let me pray really quick here. Father, thank you that we can be gathered here tonight. I pray for wisdom. I pray for revelation, Lord, so we can know you better. And in your name, amen. So we're going to start with an example for all of us. And the example is the parabolic curve. And if you're not familiar with the parabolic curve, it's sort of like compounding interest. It starts out slow, but then it takes off at an unimaginable rate. And to me, it's really fascinating. So if you take a penny and then you double it, well, you have two. Well, that's not a big deal. But then if you double that, you know, now you're at four. So after a week, you have 64 cents. And then after 2 weeks, you're at $81. After 3 weeks, you're at $10,485. Things are picking up pace here. After 4 weeks and 1 day, you're at $2,684,000. At 4 weeks and 3 days, you're at $10,737,000 and 418 cents. So that's the parabolic curve. Slow, and then you're up on top of it. And the same thing happens with water. You take one drop of water, then you double it. But now you're going to double it every minute. And as you double it every minute, after 17 minutes, you have a gallon. After 24 minutes, your bathtub is full. After 36 minutes, you have an Olympic-sized swimming pool full of water. After 46 minutes, it's 600,000 gallons of water. And at 47 minutes, an entire football stadium is filled with water. The parabolic curve. So I'm going to use that in our story tonight. So a story is just a story if it just makes you cry. But the story with the Word of God will change your life. So tonight, I hope our lives can be changed and we can move one step further along with our journey of faith. So I want everyone to say rescue mission. I think we're ready now. Let me get a drink of water. Right, so I have four examples tonight. First one is the example of Noah. And there he is. I'm not reading that yet, though. So Matthew 24 says, the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, it says in Matthew 24, he was eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, they're giving in marriage. In other words, life is great. They're having parties. They're going to the beach for vacations. The economy is good. Everything is great. You know, business is fantastic. Then the parabolic curve happens, right? And then this is where we're at with our Genesis 7. So 1 through 5 says, then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every unclean animal, a male and its mate. And also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep the various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all of this, the Lord commanded him. So I look at Noah's life and I think, wow, he's a righteous guy. He spent the years, you know, before the flood in active obedience. Active obedience. He just didn't believe God. He believed every word that God said. And he obeyed. That's righteous living. That's obeying. So he gets his family together. And then the rain comes. So what's rain? We've prayed for rain. We know what rain is. This is the first time rain has been in the Bible. So you're saying that he believed in rain and he didn't know what it was? He's believing in something that has never happened yet. Did he question God? He didn't question God. He was actively obeying God and he didn't understand it, right? That's big boy faith. That's the faith that I'm, you know, working toward all the time. And that's something that, you know, we need to believe in things. You know, you pray for a job, you pray for a house, right? A spouse, you pray for better relationships. You see, all of these things already exist. We're moving, I want to move you a little bit tonight to the part, the possibility of faith that you don't see yet. And pray for things you don't see yet. And I can pray for better relationships, but I know relationships already exist. What can I pray for that I don't see yet? That's what I want to move you into tonight. In Genesis 6:14 says, God tells Noah to build an ark. It says, make yourself an ark. Gives him the dimensions of it. And then you make it a window, and you're going to make it a lower deck, a second deck, and a third deck. Noah just does it. He doesn't understand it, but he does it. This isn't a weekend project. This takes years. Years for him to do this. And he's doing it for something he doesn't understand. That's faith. So you can see where I'm headed tonight in this Bible study, that he's moving in the direction of faith. So he completed the ark, but you see the parabolic curve was happening in the hearts of mankind back then. It started slow, and then it gradually increased. And God says, this isn't good. I don't like where this is headed. So he sends his rescue mission. The rescue mission comes. And so we pray for things, for healing, for protection, to restore our finances, to restore our faith. God is sending a rescue mission to all of us. But as in Noah's example, it took years. It took years. God told him to build it. It took years for then the rain to come. So sometimes it takes years for God's rescue mission to get to us. And we need to walk that out in faith. You know, I love things when they come along really quick, but it doesn't always happen that way. So we just need to hang with it and wait through that time. The rescue mission, the rescue party is getting ready. He's coming down for you, but you just need to wait sometimes for it to happen. My second example comes out of Luke, and that's going to be where the lepers in the story of Luke, the lepers got healed. And so they go to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, you know, can you heal us? You know, can you heal us? And Jesus says immediately, yes, I can heal you. But the healing didn't come until they moved. In Luke 17, it says, the healing came when they moved to go see the priest. If they stood still, there would have been no healing. They took a step of faith before they even knew they were healed. Jesus says, you're healed, but you got to move. You got to get up off the couch. You got to step out in faith. They're believing in for things before they happened. And God sends down this rescue mission. Now, I'll watch war movies. I love a good old-fashioned war movie and a new war movie. But when I see them and they're planning, they're preparing, it takes time to put together a rescue mission. And so usually it's a guy, but it could be a girl, but usually it's a guy that's, you know, trapped behind enemy lines, and they got to get the rescue mission together. So they form, they plan, and they get going. But that person's still over there. And so, you know, it's under the cover of darkness, and they come in, and you've seen these movies before, right? And they go get that person. But that person needs to take a step out of where they're hiding to meet the rescue mission. And so God is putting this rescue mission together for us. But like the lepers, we need to take a step of faith. We need to move closer. We need to get out of our spot, off the couch where we're hiding, right? And take a step of faith toward God in order for the rescue mission to happen. So we want to put these things together. God has 10,000 things to get together, right? Sometimes. Everything's got to line up sometimes. But take that step of faith. Take that step of faith. Move out in faith. You know, I sometimes have a hard time waiting just for the regular things that happen in my life that I know can happen. You know, I'm moving myself, and hopefully you, one step further today to areas that I haven't seen yet. So that was my second example. The third one comes, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It comes out of 2 Kings, and that's chapter 6, verse 17, and there it is, like magic. So 2 Kings is one of my favorite stories. And Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked. He saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. You know, so here God's putting together a rescue mission. And he's putting it together. And so we're going to look at the story a little bit here, but the rescue mission was already there, but the servant couldn't see it. So in this time, it happened through prayer. And Elijah prayed. He prayed. Then their eyes were open. If we look back in verse 15 and 16, 15 says, when the servant of the man of God got up, he went out early the next morning, and an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city. He says, oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked, don't be afraid. The prophet answered, those who are with us are more than with them. But you see, it seems like that happens to all of us. You open the door, right? And now let's be real for the moment. The guy gets up early in the morning. What's the first thing you do? Somebody? You go to the bathroom, right? So the guy opens the door. He wants to go to the bathroom. And what does he see? He sees the army surrounding him with their chariots of, you know, their armed guards and everything, and they're ready to take him. What he didn't see was God's army just on the outside. He couldn't see that. His eyes were still closed. His spiritual eyes weren't open. And that's like us. All we see is a problem. Right? You see the problem. God, what's my kids? How are you going to fix my kids? God, I messed up again. That was nasty. Why did I say that? What's wrong with me, right? We see the problem. Or even how are you going to make it to the next day? We see the problem, you know. Or, which is dangerous sometimes, you see how God can fix your problem. Ooh, God, you can fix it this way. And maybe we need to pray a little different. Did he ask for a bigger army? No. Did he ask for a way of escape? No. Did he ask the God to change the situation? No. What he asked God for was have his servant's eyes opened so he could see the situation from God's perspective. God says, I got you taken care of. It's all good. You just don't see it yet. You know, open those spiritual eyes so you can see. So maybe we need to change how we're rethinking and praying about our situations. You know, yes, I'm not saying it's wrong to say, God, please change the situation. But maybe pause and think, you know, what does God have me to see in this situation? What is the really the situation about? You know, and Chuck has told me, wherever, there he is, he's told me many times, you know, it's not always that person, right? It's the devil working in that person that is sometimes is the issue, right? So don't go after that person and want to change them. But just I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe we just reconsider praying to see the situation from God's perspective of things. And so I'm going to pause and ask this question. I ask questions on Tuesday morning. Not always for an answer, but, you know, what are we praying for that we can't see? Are we praying for anything we can't see yet? Or are we just praying for things that we know how they should be done or how God should solve the problem? You know, so think about that. What are we praying for that we can't see? What's beyond what you see is where I want you to think about. And the other thought before we get into the last person tonight is, you know, if you prepare when things look normal, you might look a little crazy. Like, you might be crazy. You build an ark when the weather is nice, you might be crazy. You see, living by faith is different than living by sight. Amen. Living by faith is different. God says, the word says to prepare. So are we preparing? You know, things were stable in Noah's time. Things were stable for a long time. And that parabolic curve took off. You know, who was preparing? Noah was. You know, are we preparing? The time on the work on your relationships is when things are going well. The time to work on things, you know, when things are going well. When things start going south, then you have to work twice as hard to get them back where they were. So are we preparing? You know, when you wait until the boat is full of water, sometimes it's a little bit too late. You know, don't give up, but it's just a lot harder. So prepare on things. Prepare things when things are going well. That's when we should be working on things. And so my last example comes out of back into Genesis. And you're going to be looking at Genesis 22. But I'm going to start giving you the background of the story before we read Genesis 22. So this is a story about Abraham. And it says back in Genesis 12 that, you know, he says, God says, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to bless you. Your name, which means his character and his reputation. You will bless others. I'm going to protect you. God says, I'm going to curse those who want to harm you. And then all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. So I think, well, what was there in the life of Abraham that distinguished him as a man of faith? And that's just questions for me to think about and maybe for you too. But see, the life story of Abraham is he was born in Ur. So this was a comfortable city, comfortable town, located not too far from Babylon. It was a prosperous city. They had lovely homes. Parks were beautiful. You know, maybe they had coffee shops, and it was just a beautiful, prosperous city. But you see, it was also a place where there were pagan sacrifices. It was a place where Abraham shouldn't have been. And God says, I need to move you from here. I need to move you to there because I don't want you here. And the influences here aren't good for you. And so he says, you need to go over there. And to me, that's crazy. But it says, by faith, Abraham, when he called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went when he did not know where he was going. That's crazy. Pack up everything. Not where you're going. You don't know where you're going. Get the theme tonight. You don't know where you're going. Sounds like Noah believing in something he's never seen, and that was the rain. And the lepers get healed along the way. And Elijah, as answer, you know, he prayed to have the servant's eyes opened. This all kind of is woven together tonight. And Hebrews 11:9 says, by faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise. See, the way I see it, they just packed up everything and they went. They left. They listened to God. They made a trip to the new land. They moved through obedience. They didn't know where they were going. But they were fully convinced that God says to leave, and so they did. Had no clue where they were going to end up. And so different parts out of the story is here. You know, never get it in a place where you get so comfortable you take your eyes off of God. Never get in a place where you think you made it to the top of the parabolic curve and you can coast. I'm at retirement. Oh, I'm going to coast right here. I'm in a good spot. That's a dangerous spot to be in. And he wasn't tied down to his possessions. He could just pack them all up and take them with us. You know, well, I don't know what he had with him, but they just packed everything up and they all left to go to wherever they should have gone to. Romans 4:20 says, he did not waver in unbelief about the promise of God, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And he was fully convinced that what was promised, he was able to do. So indeed it was credited to him, to Abraham, as righteousness. But you see, there's more to the life of Abraham than just that. I mean, that's a lot, but there's more. Now we get to the supreme test. This is where you should be. There it is, 22, so 1 through 8. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. And God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain, and I will show you. Early the next morning, Abram got up, loaded his donkey, and he took with him two servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he sought for a place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abram looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there, and we will worship, and we will come back to you. Abram took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it in his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abram, Father, yes, my son, Abram replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. So it wasn't really a test really to try to produce his faith as much as it was to reveal his faith. See, God built Abraham up day by day, piece by piece, year by year. He built him up. And verse 1, some things I learned while I was doing this was, you know, here Abraham is probably 110, 112 years old. So that tells me God is still going to work with us up until the last moment of our life. He's not done with us. And he's going to keep working with us and keep building us and keep growing our faith, even when we get over 100 years old. And then, just a little side note, verse 2, it says, whom you love. Well, that's the first time love is used in the Bible. I just like it when I find things like that, little nuggets along the way. And verse 3, it says, he rose early in the morning. That's my kind of a guy. Up early, embrace the day, start going early. And so he did this, and he didn't have a hint of hesitation. He got up early that day, the plan to sacrifice his son. Abraham trusted when he didn't understand. Abraham trusted when he didn't feel like it. Is that how we are? Do we trust like that? That could have been a long night. Could have been a very long night. In the morning, you're going to sacrifice your son. But then, Genesis 21:13 says, be assured that I'll develop a great nation from him. That's out of the Message Bible. So he probably rested with that through the night. Maybe a little uncomfortable, but, that got him through the night because he knew there was something special going to happen. Isaac, I love the question Isaac has here. Behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Well, that's a great question. And then verse 8 says, here's the answer. God himself will provide. Abraham didn't know the answer, but he said, God will provide. What a step of faith. What a step of faith. That's a giant person of faith to me, when you can do that and you can believe that. Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Which means in his heart, it was already done. It's already been done. He didn't have to go through the motions, because in his heart, he offered up Isaac. It's already been finished. It's already completed. And then God intervened, we know, and sent a rescue mission. But wait. You're telling me that he was going to be raised from the dead? Well, that's never been done yet. That would have been the first in the Bible that he was raised from the dead. Someone was raised from the dead. And if you're a lawyer, you base things on things that preceded before you. Precedent. This has already happened. Well, raising from the dead hasn't happened. What was he thinking? It's believing in things that haven't happened yet. And when we know that, we just think, okay, he raised from the dead. Not a big deal. But when it hasn't happened yet, that's a big deal. That's where I want us to move to tonight. Move to situations where, it's beyond what you can think of. It's beyond what you can grasp. It's beyond maybe what words you have for it. And then there's a beautiful story that, the rescue mission comes down. But again, they were walking, they were moving, they were participating, they were obeying. Then the rescue mission came. It didn't happen until they got up and going, though. They had to get up and go to have the rescue mission. What a man of faith, though. He left his country to a place God's going to show him. He believed for his son, and then he believed in sacrificing his son. That's crazy. That sounds like Noah believing in the rain. That sounds like the lepers believing, when the healing came along the way. Elijah's servant had his eyes open. I tell you, my prayer life seems tiny as I prepared for this. It seems small. What am I believing for? I really need to stretch that out. I really need to push that out, to expand what I'm believing for. I need to increase my faith. The guy that told me this isn't here tonight, so you could probably figure out which might have been who said this to me, but the other day, he says, you got to get your big boy pants on. He said, when you have little boy pants, you fly away like a kite. But you get your big boy pants on, you're anchored. So you can probably figure it out which one told me that. But so we need our big boy pants on. We need to be anchored with our faith. We need to be anchored. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So what does that really mean? I was thinking about that. Well, I could walk all day long, right? You're walking. But now if I get faith to that walk, now I can get to special places with my spiritual life. So you take the ordinary that you do every day, but then you walk by faith. You add faith to it, and now you've got something special. So take our ordinary things we do every day and add faith to it. That's where I want us to go tonight. Add faith. You know, don't always say, God, you know, give me a way of escape. Like, you know, I would have, if I was Elijah's servant, get me out of here. I need a way of escape. You know, somehow do something. You know, just don't open my eyes. I would want more than just, you know, have my eyes open. But that's me, you know. And we're trying to move past that. But if I can see what's behind it, that's better than what's in front of me. See, here's the secret to everything I've been saying tonight. So I have something, the secret to all of this, to start this walk, to increase this walk, to build on this walk. So here's the secret. Romans 10:17. So by faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. That's it. It's not hocus pocus. It's nothing fancy. It's things we know. We need to hear the word of God. That's what's going to begin this journey. That's what's going to encourage our journey. That's what's going to build our journey, by getting in the word of God. And that's where we all can start tonight. You know, increase that. Build on that. But hearing the word of God, just keep building that into your life. All right, so in conclusion here, my son is in the Army National Guard now, and last year he went through basic training. So this happened while he was in basic training. The company commander says this, and I copied his words out. Even though he was just starting basic training, when he passed away, he received full military honors and a memorial ceremony. He received these honors not because of what he had done in service to his country, but what was he was willing and he intended to do. He was intelligent. He was capable. He was a dedicated man with many options. He opted to serve his country and join the United States Army. He did this because he believed in selfless service. In fact, because of his selfless nature, three people are still alive today that otherwise might not be. This is because he was an organ donor. So even in his passing, he blessed others with his selflessness. I have no doubt he would have made an excellent soldier and leader, and I believe there are plans for all of us. Call it fate, even though it may not have been in the stars for Specialist Phoenix to have a full Army career. He was with the Army family long enough to have a lasting impact. Even though I've never had the opportunity to get him known personally, losing one of your soldiers is always difficult. Experiences like this give us soldiers, old and new, a reality check on life and a clearer perspective on what is really important. So at the end of the memorial service, the company commander called out and said, Booty?
Yes, First
Sergeant. Drzezinski? Gardner?
Yes, sir.
Wood?
Yes, sir.
Phoenix? Phoenix? No reply. He wasn't there. When the Lord asked, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Specialist Robert A. Phoenix said, here am I. Send me. So what I want you to do, take some time, the next couple of days, have your eyes open. Make the most of every opportunity. But take that step of faith. One step will move to another step. And then you're on top of the parabolic curve. This is where I usually have Marty pray for us, so can you fill in?
Yeah.
Thanks.
What a great word tonight, wasn't that? So good. Just a few thoughts. First, I love big boy faith. I love that. So I'm going to take big girl faith home with me tonight. And then I love that you alluded to the fact that faith moves you. It's an action word. Faith is a verb often described as a noun, is what I'm learning. And faith takes action. Faith takes movement. And then just some takeaways. Faith people believe. Faith people move. Faith people obey. Faith people keep their eyes on God. Faith people trust God no matter what. And then what are we praying for that we can't see? To begin to pray for things that are beyond what we can see in the natural eye. I love that. What a timely word that was tonight. Thank you. Would everyone just stand as we pray and close out the night? God, we thank you for this word tonight. We thank you for your servant, just willing to be open and available to you tonight to share this word. God, open up our eyes, open up our hearts, help us to see beyond. God, help us to begin to have that faith, God, for those things that we can't see, God, but you can see. Help us to take the ordinary, God, and you make it extraordinary. You put that faith into it. God, and help us to be believers, God. Help us to be movers, God. And help us to get in your word like we've never been in before so that we can have faith to move mountains. God, I thank you for increase of faith. I thank you, even in this house tonight, God, that you're increasing faith. You're increasing vision. You're increasing beyond what we can even see. I thank you for that tonight. And again, I just ask that you would bless your servant tonight, that your hand would be on Phil and Dee, God, that they would even see faith that they've never even seen before in their home, God. And I just ask that you would bless each person as we go tonight. Open our eyes, God, through every step, through every movement. Help us to see you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise tonight. That was a great word. We hope to see you Sunday morning, 8:30 and 10 a.m. 10 a.m. we'll be honoring our graduates. Paige is one of them. And then 12 noon at St. Anthony's. We love you, and we hope you have a great weekend.